My funny Valentine.
I've been married 80 years.
Sweet comic Valentine.
I love my wife.
You make me smile with my heart.
I'll always love her. Our love is very real and vital.
But don't change your hair for me. Not if you care for me. Stay, little Valentine, stay. Each day is Valentine's Day.
Yes, that is Frank Sinatra, and this is Focus on the Family. Our host is Dr. James Dobson, and I'm sure some of you are saying, what in the world are they doing now? Well, one of the basic topics on this broadcast is marriage, and today's program is simply dedicated to those who are in love.
You know, Mike, I have been looking forward to this program for a long time. I have heard what we're about to hear several times, and I tell you, this is good stuff. We invited people to call in who had experienced a long-term marriage, older people who had been married exclusively to one person for many, many years, to call in and just talk about that and comment on it and reflect on it and tell about their life together, anything that they wanted to do. A large number of people called us, and we have selected some of those recordings to be heard today. And then your staff of very creative people have interwoven music from the era that the people were married in, I guess. It just sort of moves across time, doesn't it?
I believe these are songs that the couples mentioned to our staff here, and we've woven them in, as you said. They mean something special to those particular couples.
That alone is going to bring back a lot of memories for folks.
I think every couple probably has at least one song that they heard on their first date or whenever, and it evokes a lot of memories.
What was yours, Mike?
Let's see. For Nancy and me, I believe it would be a song by Anita Kerr, the Anita Kerr Singers. A lot of people will remember them from the 60s and 70s. A house is not a home. It's not a very familiar song. Burt Bacharach was the man who wrote it, and it spoke about a house being a home when people are there.
Oh, yes. I know that song, and I loved it. I antedate you by about 10 years, Mike, and so we have to go back to the 50s for us. But when Shirley and I were going together, it was My Funny Valentine.
The one we heard at the beginning of the book.
Yes, sung by Frank Sinatra. Oh, isn't that beautiful?
I love the lyrics. It speaks of an unchangeable love. Don't change a hair for me.
Not if you care for me. Stay, Funny Valentine, stay.
Now, you're not going to sing, are you?
I can guarantee you that, Mike. But in February of 1959, when Shirley and I were both in college, I had the Hong Kong flu. And she wrote me a really neat Valentine and quoted the words to that song, and that's how it got immortalized for us. We better get on with the program as it's planned, Mike. The opening song that we're about to hear was recorded in 1924 by Helen Kane, a vaudeville singer. The title of it was I Want to Be Loved by You, and this song became the inspiration for the cartoon character Betty Boop, who was modeled after Miss Kane, who sang this song. So that really takes people back before my era, if you can believe that.
This is a cute song. I can just see the singer going back and forth with their hands next to their head. I want to be loved by you.
But we're going Let her sing it, Michael.
We're going to use a lot of clips from the 20s, 30s, and 40s to tell the stories for the next 19 minutes
including
or so.
Including some news clips from that era.
Sit back and listen with us.
I wanna be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you, love.
I fell in love in 1922 with a man I met at church. He was new in town, and I got him. To me, he was the most handsome man I'd ever met. I thought if he ever asked me to marry him, I would say yes, quick. And which he did.
I want to be loved by you, just you and nobody else but want to be loved by you. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba.
My name is Joe Maytreat, and I got married 78 years ago with a wonderful man named Cecil. Back in 1922, the dating was very simple. Going to church and to picnics and into the country holding hands, we'd go to the silent movie show for just 10 cents. And it was our favorite show. It was a little melodrama, and we had with the hair on the strap to the railroad tracks and the train to come in. And then after the date, he would drive me home in his Model T touring car. And I'll never forget the night that Cecil proposed to me. He reached over and put his arm around me and said, I want to ask you something. I said, okay. He said, do you love me? I said, yes. He said, will you marry me? I said, yes. And he kissed me. I was kissed for the first time when he asked me to marry him. Oh, that was worth waiting for.
Oh, give me a little kiss. Will you have? And I'll give it right back to you. It's been a year.
Hold the distinction, being the only nation in the history of the world that ever went to the poorhouse in an automobile.
Oh, please, lend your little ear to my plea. Tell me that you love me too.
The results of the 1932 election now appear to be certain. The ticket of Roosevelt and Garner has won a clear-cut majority over the Republican ticket of Hoover and Curtis. Chief Justice Hughes will administer the oath to Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
My name is Elsie Hoyer, and I will be 81 years old December the 28th. And I was married in 1929 in Chicago. I'll never forget how awful it was during that Depression time. There were bread lines. There were men out of work all over, selling apples on the corner, begging, and nobody had any money. Nobody could get a job. And my husband was laid off right after we were married, and I got pregnant, and we all had to go home to my mother. My dad was working. He made $18 a week. But it drew us together. It drew my husband and I together. There were times when he'd look at me and I'd look at him, and we just wonder, what are we going to do? But the Lord just took us day to day. We didn't have much, but we had our love for each other, which strengthened day by day.
So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for its song.
From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Oh, Silver! Oh!
Interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Give him two lips like roses and clover. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone. Don't have nobody to call my own. Bum, 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 bum. Please turn on your magic beam. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
I'm calling from upstate New York. This is Sidney Aldrich, and I'm 68. My wife, Edith, is 67. The last day of January, my wife and I celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary. I never dreamed that a couple could be so happily married at our age. I've always loved my wife with an appreciation and affection, but was often very thoughtless of her. For example, I'm a perfectionist, and I expected the house to be in order all the time, even when we had three or four children, and they were small. But then the changes began to take place. I can remember a time when the sink was full of dirty pots and pans. Instead of criticizing my wife, I wrote love notes and placed them in the bottom of each pot and pan. We both felt good about that, but then I got the inspiration to begin helping her or surprising her by doing housework when she was out. One time I was finishing the dishes when she arrived home, and in her cute, sweet way, she asked, "And what do you think you're doing?" I responded, "Oh, I'm just loving my wife." Many years ago, I began to pray daily the words of Ephesians 5:25. "Lord, help me to love my wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." I'm extremely happy with this precious wife of my youth. I'm thankful that the Lord ordained marriage, that he brought us together, and that he has wrought such wonders in our lives. And thank you, Edith.
This is Beatrice Heron. I'm from Park City, Kentucky. And I'm married to Alvin Heron. And we've been married 60 years. We'll be married 60 years in January the 23rd. He's a wonderful person to live with. He never grumbles, and he never does find fault with people. He always looks to the good of everyone he sees and tries to pick out something good. Everything I do, he praises me. Maybe the pies don't turn out just right, but just to hear him talk about it, why, you'd think that they were wonderful. That's all right, he'll say. Let's just forget about it. Everything's going to be okay. We're so thankful that we can live together all these years. I just hope that all the rest of our years will be happy ones, just like the ones that is in the past.
When I get up every morning, I meet my wife, and I give her a kiss, and she's always smiling back, and I said, "I'll take a walk around the block, and I'll be back." And usually when I come back, we have breakfast, and we have another kiss before breakfast and maybe after breakfast.
Love every minute of it.
Young at heart, sure thing.
My name is Leroy Pace, and I'm calling from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I've been married for 48 years. And my wife's name Nora, and I call her honey most of the time. And we still hold hands like we did when we was courting and before we got married. I've always been a cuddler.
I fell in love in 1917 and we were married in 1918, and we've been in love ever since. She was beautiful when I met her, and she was beautiful when I married her, and she's beautiful now, just as beautiful as the day I met her.
I think he's bragging. Doodle, 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 doodle. Some people say to me, "You're married for 60 years?" I says, "Yeah. Imagine putting up with him for 60 years." And he says, "Imagine putting up with her for 60 years.
I tell you, somebody asked her one time if she ever thought of divorce. She said, "No. Divorce, no. Murder, yes."
And then we look at each other and hug each other.
I love you, a bushel and a peck. A bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck.
Ouch!
Hug around the neck and a barrel and a heap. Barrel and a heap, and I'm talking in my sleep about you.
About me?
Yes, about you.
My heart is leaping, having trouble sleeping.
'Cause I love you, a bushel and a peck. You bet your purty neck I do.
Doodle, 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 doodle.
octave lower, please.
Do 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 do.
My name is Pearl Shapley, and I'm 99 years old, and I live in our rest home in Port Colborne in Canada. I've been married 80 years, and I live with a wonderful man named Charles. He's young at heart, and he gets along on his cane, and he's nearly 102 years old.
I love my wife. As old as we are, we don't agree on everything, but we get along fine.
My life has been wonderful, and I have a wonderful Savior, and that gives me peace. You got a favorite scripture?
God so loved the world to give his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish,
but have everlasting life.
My name is Howard Cole. I am 84 years old. I live at the Quaker Gardens Retirement Home in Stanton, California. I've been blessed with a marriage with my wife for 63 years. We met at Quaker College and fell in love and lived a very beautiful life all this time until she's acquired Alzheimer's disease. And it's horrible. But I see her now about once a week. Sometimes she knows me and sometimes she doesn't. She may be confused who I am, but she knows that it's somebody that loves her and that she loves. Usually when I see her, we'll cry together for a minute or two, and then she'll kind of quiet down, and I just tell her I love her. I'll always love her. Our love is very real and vital, and we're so thankful to our Lord for it all. And I can't walk too much anymore, and I'm getting old, but my love stays young for my wife. My love remains young because at heart it is young. She's my lifelong lover. She's my girl.
Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you derive out of being alive. And here is the best part, you have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
Yes, if you joined us a little bit late, this is Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson. Our topic for the past few minutes has been long-term marriages, the value of the permanence of that relationship with your spouse. You probably heard some music you hadn't planned on hearing, at least not on this station today. But I can't imagine a more effective and unique way to deal with the subject, Doctor.
You know, Mike, I've loved this program for a number of reasons, primarily because it represents something very precious to me, and I don't really know if I can put it into words, but Shirley and I met when I was 20 and she was 19, and we had both saved ourselves for the person that we would eventually marry. That was a conscious choice that we both made. We were married 3 years later, and we've been reaping the benefits of the kind of long-term marriage that we've been hearing about today, where the bonding between two people is so thorough and so intense that the line that separates the two of you is blurred. It's an exclusivity. It's a relationship that flowers and grows through the years. It was cultivated in youth, and it was watered through the years and carefully maintained, and now it comes into maturity. I spoke to a group of teenagers last summer, and in fact, we videotaped a series of interactions with teenagers. And one of the things I said to them is, don't throw away that exclusivity. Don't let anybody else into that physical relationship when you're young. When you're my age and you're looking back, it'll be the most priceless possession that you own. What you and that love relationship, that person that you've married, share together that excludes all other people. And it is just the two of you going through life together. I tell you, there's something there. I can't find the words for it. But this program today has focused on the essence of Focus on the Family.
We started the broadcast by playing you and Shirley's favorite song, My Funny Valentine. Let me ask you a question as we end. Do you remember your first kiss?
Not now you're just the first nosy kiss, now, Mike.
Not just the first time you kissed Shirley. Do you remember your very first kiss? Let me take
goodness.
You back even further.
I didn't know you were going to ask that.
I asked that because I remember mine. It was Jan Blumdahl. It was in the fall of 1961. My dad was out waiting in the car. We had just gone miniature golfing. I was saying goodnight to her at the door, and that magic moment arrived, and I knew I didn't know what to do. And I got back to the car, and my dad said, "Did you have a nice time tonight?" And I said, "Yeah, I did."
But you didn't tell him. My first kiss occurred when I was 13 years of age. It was on a Sunday night after church, and there were about five church kids that went out in a car together. Mm-hmm. We went to a drive-in to get a Coke or something. And there was a very cute girl in the car that was 2 years older than me and a little more experienced than me.
Oh, those older women.
Yeah, you got to watch those older women. And she turned to me and she said, "I'll bet you a nickel that I can kiss you without touching you." And I said, "How are you going to do that?" And she said, "Well, you want to take the bet?" And I said, "Okay."
And sure.
So, yeah, what I got to lose? She kissed me and handed me the nickel and said, "You win." And that was my first kiss.
How about with Shirley? Do you remember that first kiss?
My first kiss with Shirley occurred out in front of her dormitory one night. And the radio, car radio, was playing. We were sitting in my old 1949 Mercury, which is about to fall apart. But the radio worked, and the song that was being played when I kissed Shirley was Patti Page singing Old Cape Cod. You remember that song?
I sure do. That's a beautiful song.
Why don't we go out on that, Mike? That'd be a good way to end the program.
All right.
Today.
Should we also play the fireworks that went along with it at the time?
Well, those fireworks are still there, so that's not historic. Mike, before we end the program, we need to give credit to Kay Lindley. She did not make the move to Colorado Springs, and she did produce this. I think she did a wonderful job. It's been great having her on the staff, and we can offer a tribute here at the end of this broadcast to the kind of work that Kay did with us.
There were so many hours put into this program. There is so much creativity woven all through it. It really does belong to Kay in a special way. She's been a great asset to the staff, and I think it's very appropriate. Today's program has been provided by Focus on the Family. Our producer, of course, was Kay Lindley. Our engineers were Robert Huff and David Buller. Our host is Dr. James Dobson, and I'm Mike Trout, inviting you back when we will again turn our hearts toward home.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages here and there,
you're sure
to fall in love with old Cape Cod. If you spend an evening, you to stay watching the moonlight on Cape Cod Bay,
you're sure to fall in love with old Cape Cod.
Oh, if you spend an evening, you'll want to stay
on Cape Cod Bay,
watching the on Cape Cod Bay. You're sure to fall in love with old Cape Cod. You're sure to fall in love. You're sure to fall in love.